Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Christ is on trial, God is on His throne. And we're reading about it in John chapter 18. As we see the Jews bringing Christ, Jesus, they wouldn't call Him the Christ, of course, Jesus of Nazareth to trial, and having to cooperate with Rome in order to carry out their determination that Christ shall be executed, and shall be executed by Roman pronouncement and by Roman execution methods, namely crucifixion, with all the humility and public shame that is involved in that. And so they bring Jesus to Pilate. They're not willing to go into his judgment hall, but they bring Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate accommodates them by coming out and asking them what the charge is. And they say, in essence, we don't have any charge, but trust us. If this man were not a malefactor, we wouldn't bring him to you. And Pilate says, well, no formal charges, no trial. Judge him yourself according to your law. If it's a Jewish religious matter, it does not concern Rome. And then the Jews make it clear what they're demanding. They said, we don't have authority for execution. And we are expecting you to put this man to death. And so now the confrontation is set up. And Pilate is going to accommodate them for political expediency. And yet, as John reminds us in verse 32, all of this is in accord with God's perfect will. All of this is being done in order to fulfill the words of Christ, who had already prophesied that he would die by Roman crucifixion. Now, question. If God has sovereignly determined that Jesus shall die according to Roman crucifixion, does that mean that what the Jews are doing, they're not doing of their own accord, of their own free will? Does that mean that what Pilate is doing, he's not doing of his own accord, of his own so-called free will? The fact of the matter is, the Jews and Pilate are acting according to their own desires, and yet they are doing it all perfectly in accord with God's sovereignty. Because, you see, God is sovereign in the circumstances of nature, of nations. At another time, another place, the Jews could have and would have stoned Jesus, but not this time, because Jesus must be crucified. And God controls all the events of history. And man's willful and voluntary actions are all fulfilled in accordance with the eternal counsels of a sovereign God. They meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and they are carrying out God's will. And yet they are doing it voluntarily. Whenever you start talking about God's sovereignty, and I mean God's absolute sovereignty, the objection that most people raise is, well, that's not possible, or that's not fair, or if that's so, then that makes man a robot. No, 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 no. God is sovereign, and yet man acts in accordance with his decisions and his desires. Man acts voluntarily, but it's all under the absolute sovereignty of God. You say, explain that, reconcile that. I can't fully explain it, and I certainly can't fully reconcile it, but I can declare it. It is true. And if you think that that cannot be true, you're wrong. The Bible shows it to us again and again and again and again. God is absolutely sovereign. He determines what shall come to pass. But man acts voluntarily in accordance with his own desires. And we see it here in the trial of Christ. God is sovereign in the affairs of nations. God is sovereign in the deliberation of rulers. We read in verse 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews?" Pilate returns to the judgment hall, asks Christ, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, verse 34, "Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Christ asks for clarification. Is your question, "Am I the King of the Jews?" Is this a Roman political question, or is it a Jewish religious question? Because that, of course, will determine the proper answer to the question. Are you the King of the Jews? What Christ is saying, in essence, is, in what sense do you mean King of the Jews? If you mean that in a political sense, am I the King of the Jews politically? Am I laying claim to a Jewish throne? Am I laying claim to a literal kingdom made up of Jewish people? Am I laying claim to political power based upon a Jewish dynasty, based upon a claim to the throne of David back in the days when Jews were not under a Gentile overlord and had the sovereignty of their own nation? Is that what you mean? Are you asking me, am I that kind of king? If that's what you're asking, the answer is no, I'm not. However, if your question is religious in nature, if you are asking me, am I a spiritual king? Do I have a spiritual kingdom? Do I lay claim to rightful rule over the hearts and loyalties and affections and devotion of the citizens of this Jewish nation? The answer is, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Pilate said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee?" You need to clarify the question. And that's often the case, dear friends. You often need to clarify questions to find out what people are asking. People ask questions, and sometimes they have one thing in mind, and you have something else in mind. Sometimes people ask me, "Are you a Calvinist?" Well, depending on who's asking and what the circumstances are, I may answer directly, but oftentimes I will say, "What do you mean by that?" Well, are you one of those people that believes in predestination and believes that whatever will be, and believes that there's no reason to preach the gospel? You don't believe in evangelism, you don't believe in missions. Are you a Calvinist? Are you one of those guys? If that's what you mean by that, the answer is no. I am not a Calvinist in the sense that you are describing. Of course, your conception of Calvinist is actually a rather bad conception. It's more of a misconception than a proper conception. It is more of a caricature than the truth. You have built a straw man as to what you think a Calvinist is, and your concept is not accurate. But I need to find out what you mean by that, because if in asking me if I'm a Calvinist, that's what you mean, then the answer is no. Because I'm not that. I'm not what you've described. I'm not what you think a Calvinist is. Christ often answered questions in that way. I can think of several other examples that come crowding into my mind, but I think I will continue on without pursuing it further. And so we come to verse 35 and see Pilate's rejoinder. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" You see, he asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus asked for clarification. "What do you mean by that?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done?" Am I a Jew? In other words, I'm not interested in Jewish religious matters. You're asking me for clarification. What do I mean by this question? Are you the King of the Jews? Do I mean political king or religious king. Hey, am I a Jew? Would I be interested in Jewish religious matters? I'm not, obviously, so judge for yourself what kind of question this is. I'm really more interested in political matters. But the Jews have delivered you up to me, which seems strange. So what have you done? What have you done to cause the Jews, your own people, your own nation? Jews tend to stick together against Gentiles. Jews tend to stick together against Rome. But here are your people, your nation, delivering you up to me. Now, you must have done something pretty serious to have caused them to do that. I'm not a Jew. I don't understand Jewish religious matters. I don't understand why they are delivering you up to me. I don't have any reason to suspect that you are in violation of the laws of Rome. And frankly, I can't understand what Jewish laws you're in violation of. What have you done? Is what Pilate is saying. And Jesus answered in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." A very, very instructive response. And of course, it is like so many statements of Christ, subject to various interpretations. But Christ is saying here, I have a kingdom, but not the kind of kingdom that you're asking about. I am a king. I have a kingdom, but it's not a political kingdom. If it were, my servants would fight to defend me. But my servants did not fight for me because my kingdom is not of this world. It's not a political kingdom. It's not a kingdom of thrones and armies of the kind that you are accustomed to. It is not a Roman-style throne. And if it were, then my servants would fight the Roman soldiers. We would have a battle. We would have a confrontation in the physical realm, in the political realm. It's hard for me to answer this question because you don't understand where I'm coming from, and I'm trying to explain that to you. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. It's not from here. Now, the question is, what exactly did Christ mean by this statement, "My kingdom is not of this world"? Some would say what he meant by that was, "My kingdom is not of this world presently." My kingdom is of this world. In other words, my kingdom is a literal, physical, earthly, political kingdom with a real throne, a real dynasty, a real earthly political kingdom someday in the millennium, but not now. Well, it might be possible that that's what Christ is saying, but not based upon this text, not what you read here. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, "My kingdom is not of this world now." He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And if you take that at face value, what he's saying is, the kind of king I am, the kind of kingdom that I am building is not a political kingdom, is not an earthly kingdom, is not a Jewish political dynasty. The throne of David is not an earthly throne anymore. It's a heavenly throne. Now that is what the statement taken by itself would mean. Of course, you always have to compare Scripture with Scripture, and it may be that comparing with other Scripture, you're convinced it has to be taken in a different sense. But I'm just simply pointing out what Christ said on this occasion, and you'll have to return tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God bless you.